Today's shir is Masech Bava Basra, Daf Beis. We will begin in Daf Beis Amin Aleph at the new Masechta. Begin to learn Masechta Bava Basra. Taisvis already discusses what is the placement of Bava Basra after Masechta Bava Metzia. And he quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yosef that all of Seder Nezikin is really considered one Masechta. And even according to Rav Huna, the three Masechtas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, are considered three Masechtas, but there's a reason, even if they're separate Masechtas, why they were taught in this specific order. So he explains that given that we learned at the end of the Masechta, Baba Metzia, we were learning at the end of the Masechta situations where people were neighbors and people had one floor of a house over another house, and trees fell and houses fell, and how we divide. So it's very much in order that we should continue discussing the halacha of the wall that exists, as we're about to learn, between different chatzeres. But the Rambam adds another dimension. And the Rambam says that unlike Masechta Bava Metzia and Baba Kama, where the halachas that we learn in those masechtas are primarily halachas that are based on psukim, this masechta, most of the halachas that we learn in this masechta are actually halachas that are based on svara. So first, Rebbe, as he set up the order of the masechtas, taught Baba Kama Metzia, which are halachas that are based on psukim, and then he taught us Baba Basra, which is based on svara. Moreover, if this is considered one mesechta, so the halacha is that in one mesechta, if you have a machloikis, vakach stam, first the Mishnah quotes a machloikis, and then the Mishnah says a halacha with no machloikis, so it's a halacha that we follow, the halacha is we follow the stam. Vice versa, stam with achkach machloikis, but if we have a stam, Mishnah, and then later in the same Masechta, about the same subject, we have a Machloikis, then the halacha is that we don't follow the Stam Mishnah. That's only when in one Masechta. And as the Achroinim, my Sir Bachanan explains, the way they used to learn was they would learn one Masechta at a time, and if Rebbe decided that this was the halacha, it would be a Stam Mishnah, it would be a Machloikis V'Achkach Stam. If it wasn't the Halacha, it would be a Stam V'Achkach Machloikis. But when they went from one Masechta to another Masechta, even though certainly there is a reason for the order that we have the Masechtas of Shas, they did not necessarily learn the Masechtas of Shas in the order that they are in Shas. And since they didn't learn the Masechtas in Shas in the order that they are in Shas, it seems that they would learn what they wanted to learn, what they felt was appropriate to learn, even though they weren't necessarily following the order of Shas. Because that was the case, we can't say that even though Masechta Brachos comes before Masechta Shabbos in the order of Shas, so if we have a Stam in Masechta Brachos and then a Machlokes in Masechta Shabbos, or vice versa, that would be an indication that this should be a Stam V'Achach Machlokes, or vice versa. The reason being, because just because Masechta Brachos comes before Masechta Shabbos in Shas, doesn't mean that they learned necessarily Masechta Brachos before they learned Masechta Shabbos. But if it's one Masechta, they would learn, it seems the way Rabbi Chanan is explaining, not only would they learn the Masechta in the order, but they would also learn the entire Masechta. And therefore, the order within one Masechta can be followed. And now, knowing if these three Masechtas that we're now learning, Masechta Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, are one Masechta, and therefore any Mishnah stated anywhere in these three Masechtas, the order of what it says in those Mishnayos would be very relevant. So says the Mishnah, Hashutfin, we have two partners that have separate homes. The way the homes in the time of Chazal, Rashi explains this. The way the homes in the time of Chazal were built was that they had homes. Everybody had their own home. And the home would open to a chatzar. And Rashi makes a very important statement. Rashi says, V'roiv tashmisham b'chatzar. A very big part of the way that they lived was in the chatzar. They did many activities outdoors. And since they did so many activities outdoors, says the Gemara, we have an issue where two neighbors are sharing a chatzar and they want to make a wall so each one of them can have privacy in their chatzar, which opens up the primary issue that we're going to be learning, at least at the beginning of the Masechta. And the primary issue we're going to learn in the beginning of Masechta is the concept of Hezekriya. If I want to do something private in my chatzar, and now if your area of the chatzar is open to my area of the chatzar, it gives me the lack of privacy, which is called Hezekriya. And the stipler in one of the first simonim of Masechta Babasra, Simon Hay, explains that there are a number of different reasons why Hezekriya should be a consideration. One is that a person obviously is embarrassed to do things which are of a private nature in a chatzah which is open. The other reason is that, so that's sort of a, not a financial issue, it's a more of a, or maybe it is, it's a combination of taking away my privacy and taking away my ability to do what I would necessarily want to do. The second pshat that the stipler says in why Hezekriya should be Hezek is if it's an issue that I want to be able to do everything I can do in a chatzar, and an exposed chatzar, I can't do everything I want to do. And the third reason, as the Gemara is going to mention in Amud Beis and Mitzvah Shem, is an issue of Ayin Hara. When I'm in a chatzar, which is exposed, people could see everything that I'm doing. And when people could see everything that I'm doing, then that's an opening for an Ayin Hara, as we're going to be discussing the issue of an Ayin Hara. What would be the nafkamina between these different pshatim? One nafkamina would be if you have a glass partition between the two chatzeris. If the issue is for Ayin Hara, so the Chabina Rav already says, and other paiskim say, as long as it's not your vision directly seeing what's mine, there is no concern of Ayin Hara. So the issue of Ayin Hara is removed under those circumstances. But if the issue is that there's a lack of privacy, and because there's a lack of privacy, it doesn't give me the ability to be able to work in my chatzar, so then the halacha is that doesn't change if there's a partition, a glass partition, which you could see through the glass partition. Another nafkamina, which is a very important nafkamina, is can you be meichel? In other words, if we have, the two of us have a shared chatzar, and we have the issue of Hezekriya, and can one person be meichel to the other person this Hezekriya consideration? If we're going to understand that this is a financial issue, if we're going to understand it's a financial issue that it limits my ability to be able to use my chatzar. So whenever it's a financial situation, I have a right to sell my rights, I have a right to give up my rights. But if it's an issue of Ayin Hara, not only is it not necessarily correct that one has the ability to be meichel on that, but even if he is meichel, I saw that the Paiskim suggests that mechila doesn't have to be a mechila that's there forever. I thought that I'm not concerned about the Ayin Hara, and then it turns out that it is a concern to me. Rashi made a very important point. Rashi said, as we quoted the Rashi, Rashi says, V'roiv tashmishon b'chatzer. Most of what they did was in their chatzeris. So the question that comes up is, b'zman hazeh, even if people share a courtyard, share a driveway, etc., what Rashi says, that roiv tashmishon b'chatzer, doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Most people don't do things out in the chatzar. Certainly not things that you would want to do in a private fashion. So when we speak about the halachas that we're learning in our masechta now, the building of the wall, etc., do these halachas apply, the Paiskim discuss, b'zman hazeh? Rabbi Yosha's opinion, I saw, was that these halachas apply. The halacha that's stated in the Mishnah remains in effect all of the time. Other Rishonim say that, and even though Rashi says, V'roiv tashmishin b'chatzar, Rashi doesn't mean that that's a requirement. That in order for the halachas that we're learning in our Mishnah to be applicable, it has to be a time and a place where roiv tashmishin b'chatzar. Even if it's not roiv tashmishin b'chatzar, there's a din that you can make and have to build a wall under the circumstances that we're going to be learning in our coming shiurim. The Chazon Ish seems to learn, no, that the way to learn Rashi is literal. And Rashi says that roiv tashmishin b'chatzar, so only in a place where roiv tashmishin applies. But in a situation where it's not roiv tashmishon b'chatzar, then all the halachas that we're learning in our Mishnah won't apply. So again, says the Mishnah, shutfen shirotz lasis mechitza b'chatzar. If the two people who own, or could be more, they want to build the wall, b'inan es ha'kaisel, they build the wall, b'emtza, they build the wall in the mill. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim. What is the definition of be'emtza? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that be'emtza means that both of the parties who are building the wall, or all of the parties actually who are building the wall, have to participate equally in the building of the wall. But regarding where the wall exactly is placed, that the wall is placed according to the lines, what is my chatzar versus your chatzar. But there are others that learn that the definition of the word b'emtza means that the wall should be put in the middle of the chatzar. Malkum Shnasel, Anana Mishnah continues to discuss what type of materials are used to build this wall. Malkum Shnasel Nagel Livnoiskvil, in a place that they use stones that are not smooth, but that's what they should use. Gozes, if they use smooth stones, that's what should be used. Kfitzim, which are half bricks, levenim are whole bricks, boinim. You always use hakel k'minig ha'medina. You always follow the minig ha'medina. So the Ramban says, what's going to be the halacha? The Ramban discusses, what's going to be the halacha where there is no minig ha'medina? So what should you do? So the Ramban suggests that whatever material is used to build the walls of the house, that should be the material that's used to build this wall as well. The Rashba disagrees. And Rashba says, the wall that's needed to build a home is very different than the wall that's needed to divide a chatzar. And therefore, what's used to build in the home cannot serve as a model to what's used to build in the chatzar. And therefore, he says that when there is no set minhag ha'medina, the two partners have to decide together what they should build. But now, there's a question that the Rishonim discuss. So if the two partners can agree, fantastic. But what happens if the two partners can't agree? So I saw there's a machlokes Rishonim. If do you force them to use the best material, or do you force them to use the cheapest, the weakest material? The Meiri says that you could only demand that they use the cheapest material. The Meiri, however, does quote opinions that the halacha is that you have to build, that you could force them to use, if they can't come to agree, they have to use the best material. Certainly, the Yad Ramah makes a very important point. He says, there's a rule throughout Shas that ain't holchem b'mamon achar roiv. We don't follow, when it comes to din and mamonis, we don't follow the roiv. So it says, even though that is a very important rule that's often applied when we speak about Dine Mominus, he says that doesn't mean that in a case like ours, where there are maybe more than one minig, many different people have done different things in terms of using materials to build a wall, says the Yad Ramah, when we can't decide when there's many different menhagim, here we follow the Rav. We follow what most people do, and whatever material is the material that's used on the most circumstances, that's what we find. So Tosfos asks, the Mishnah says Hakol Kaminin Kamedina, particularly as we have just finished learning Masechta Metziah, where we learned so many times that we always, in these type of situations, follow the Minhag Medina. The question is, why was it necessary to say over here, Hakol Minhag Medina? And the answer is that even though the Minhag does serve as a way to establish what should be done, the Mishnah is teaching us that's only a Minhag that is a Minhag that makes sense. But if there's a Minhag that doesn't have any real basis to it, just because that's the minig, the halacha is that a minig that has no basis, we don't have to follow. In fact, the Shal Satshuva Shar Ephraim, Simen Yud, there's a question when to say Agdomis on Shavuos. What is the right time? Some shuls say it right before the Kohen makes Birchas HaTorah and the Aliyah that he's going to get. Some have the Kohen first saying Birchas HaTorah and then they say Agdomis. The Shar Ephraim says that apparently some places had the minig that they first said, the Kohen made Birchas HaTorah. They read one pasuk of the Torah, and after they read one pasuk of the Torah, did they begin Agdomis. And he says that minig has no basis, and because that minig has no basis, even though that might be the minig in that community, he says, a minig that doesn't really have a solid halachic basis is not a minig that we have to follow. Continues the Mishnah, if we're using gvil to build this wall, zeh noisin shlosh tfachim, zeh noisin shlosh tfachim. The width of the gvil is 6, and each one has to give 3 tfachim. If they're using gazes, which is 5 tfachim wide, each one of them, of these people who are building the wall, contribute 2.5. The kfisim, which are 4 tfachim wide, each one of them gives 2 tfachim. The veinim, which are 3 tfachim wide, each one gives 1.5 tfachim. So of course, Tosfos asks the question, is the purpose of our Mishnah to teach us math, that half of 6 is 3, and half of 5 is 2.5. What is our Mishnah coming to teach us? So Tosfos Divrei Maskil B'Gvil says that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that let's say somebody says, I want to use Gvil to build the wall, but I want to use Gvil that's even wider than 6. So the Mishnah is teaching us that when you use Gvil as the material to build the wall, it doesn't have to be wider than 6, and nobody has a right to want it to be wider. On the other hand, Taisha says, if the Minhag of Medina is that the gvil that they have is less than 6 tfachim, it's acceptable to use that type of gvil. But then I saw another explanation what the Mishnah is trying to teach us with this halacha. The Mishnah is trying to teach us is that let's say we agree to put up a wall and we agree whatever material gvil or whatever material we agreed upon to use for the wall, and one of the two partners decided that he wants to build the entire wall and the entire wall should be built in his property. The answer is that if both partners agree to build a wall and both partners want to participate in the building of the wall, then the halacha is that that's what should be done. And the other partner cannot say, well, I want that we should that I want to be the one to build the entire wall. Moreover, based on this, I saw that the Rishonim point out, because, and that's part of what the Mishnah is teaching us, that because both partners could demand that we both want to participate in the wall, the assumption is that both partners did participate in the building of the wall. And since the assumption is that both partners participated in the building of the wall, if the wall falls, and now, as and we had this discussion at the end of Sector Baba Metzia, if both partners, there's a question who becomes the owner of the material, of the materials that were used to build the wall, then the halacha is that the we could assume that both of them participated. Lefikach, and therefore says of Nafal Kaisel, if the wall falls down, given that the assumption is that both of them pay for the wall, the halacha is that Nafal Kaisel Hamaka Avonim Shel Shneim. The Chishuki Chemin has a very interesting discussion. He says, typically in Eretz Yisrael, and most people live in homes that are made up of, that are like a condominium, and you have a number of homes together, and they have an area that's joint to all of those houses, where they put, they build a room where they're going to keep the garbage. And one of them decided that because that could be quite expensive to build such a room and prepare it properly with the proper ventilation. And one of them says, one of the people, one of the homes or one of the people says, I'm willing to give up for my space to make a place for the garbage, and it won't cost that much money to build this special room. So now the question is, on one hand, we have the Minhag HaMedina. The Minhag HaMedina is that you have this room. On the other hand, you have somebody who's willing to say, I don't want to have this expense, and I'm willing to give up for my space to have this place for the garbage. So the Chishuki Chemet says, yes, in our Mishnah, as we just finished learning the halacha of a Mishnah, is that the halacha is that there's a Hezek Riya, and we started our shiur today explaining what is the definition of a Hezek Riya. And we started our shiur today explaining that Hezek Riya, at least as we learned the Mishnah, is a very strong consideration. It's such a strong consideration that one partner could force the other partner to put up the wall. But the garbage is that you have to have a place to put the garbage. But having a place to put the garbage does not require that we have to spend a lot of money to build a room. And if there's one person who's willing to give up from his space to have a proper place for the garbage without having to spend all of that money, the halacha is that that's what's followed, and we cannot demand that everybody participate in building this expensive room. Continues the Mishnah, v'chein begina. The same halacha that we're learning applies to a garden. Makom shenaku ligdar, if it is a place where they make a fence around the gina, mechayv nosoi, everybody has to participate. Ava v'bika, in a place where there's an open area where they plant grain, makom shenagu shloi lagdu, if the minig is that since this is an open area, they typically don't make a fence around this area, ei mechayv nosoi. We can't force anybody to make a fence around this area. Elam Rotzo, what he can do is, if you want to have a fence, Kodesh L'Tech Shaloi, move, build a wall on your own property, Ubayna. But because you built this fence just out of your own funds, Mishnah teaches us, you should make a chazis, you should make a simon, you should make a way that it could be, we could determine that you pay mebuchutz, that this wall was completely built from your funds, because lefikach im nafla kaisel, should that wall fall down, hamakam avanim shaloi, it's going, we'll know that the space on which the wall was built and the materials that were used to build that wall are all just from you. But let's say, even though it's an area where a wall does not have to be built, but both of these neighbors agreed that they're going to build a wall together. Bainus a cancer be'emtza. So they both give up from their space to build the wall. And the way to be able to know that the wall was built by both of them, both on the space where the wall was actually built, and also the material that was used came from both of them. We make a symbol, we make a sign on both sides, and therefore we know that both of them participated in the building of this wall. And therefore, if that wall will then eventually fall down, we know how mokum, the space on which the wall was built, and the stones which were used to build the wall, so shneim came from both of them. The Yaros Tavash explains our Mishnah al Pidrush. He says that hashutfim, the Mishnah began with the word hashutfim, and he tries to understand why does the Mishnah say hashutfim with the hey hayadia? Hashutfim, do shutfim. It should have said shutfim, two partners who built the wall together. So he says that the reason the Mishnah uses the word hashutfim, it speaks about the ultimate, most important partnership that exists in the world. And the most important partnership that exists in the world is the partnership that each one of us are really made up of, the guf and the neshama. And for us to be able to succeed in this world, we need to have a guf and we need to have a neshama. Without a neshama, we can't exist. Worse than l'kai neshama shenasatabi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu breeds into us a neshama, and that gives us the ability to exist. But if we just had a neshama, without gashmius, without the guf, number one, the neshama would expire. And so many of the important things that we're supposed to do, we would not be able to do, because we can't eat, and we can't walk, and we can't talk, and we can't do anything without a guf. We know that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Omer, Eizah Derech Sheyava Lo Adam. What is the path that someone should choose? Kol She Tferes Leisel, V'Tferes Lemdel, V'Tferes Lemina Adam. And Bartanur explains what does the Mishnah mean? That a person in life has to go take the path which is the happy medium, not in any extreme. He should not be extreme in spending money, and should not be extreme in not spending money. A person in every method should take that path. And he said, and that's the lesson of our Mishnah. Hashutfim, people, so you have partners. Each one of us is made up of a partnership, as we said, of the guf and the neshama. And they want to make a mechitza. They want to separate the guf and the neshama. Teaches us the Mishnah, boinim as a koisel be'emtza. The way to do, the proper way of living, is not by making a separation between the gashmias and the ruchnias. On the contrary, the way to successfully live is by making boinim as a koisel be'emtza, that both should be participating in the life of a person. Be'emtza, if both parties participate properly in the way we live, if both parties participate properly in the way we live, then we will have a successful life. So it begins the Gemara. Savrua in the yeshiva, they assumed, my mechitza, what is the definition of the word that we began the Masechta with the words shutfim shirotz las mechitza? They wanted to make the definition mechitza is good, it's a wall. Says the Gemara, where do we find that the word mechitza means a wall? Kritanya. The Torah teaches us, Lesizra Kamcha Klaim, Pentigdash Hamaleya Zera Asher Tizra, V'Tvuas HaKeren. And the Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Nun Vav Amabez explains that you're not allowed to plant your vineyard next to a grain field, because if your vineyard gets mixed into the grain field, then explains the Gemara, the words Pentigdash, Tukar Eish, you will have to destroy that entire area. So now we have a situation where we have a vineyard on one side, a grain field on the other side, and we built the wall. We built the wall between these two sides. Because the halacha is the only way we could plant without having this problem of klayim is in one of two ways. Either, as we're learning now, building a wall between these two areas, or if a wall is not going to be built between these two areas, we have to have a separation of dalet amos, of four amos between the two areas. So they built a wall, v'nifritza, and now that wall collapsed. And the Rishonim point out, and that's a Mishnah Masech Deklayim, Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet, that nifritza means that when is it considered a problem if the wall is broken? If there's an opening of more than 10 amos. But if there's an opening of 10 amos or less, it's only considered a pesach. It's only considered a doorway. And therefore, since it's only considered a doorway, the halacha is that it doesn't have to be repaired. It's still considered that these two fields are separated. So, mechitz es cherem, you have this wall, shenifritza, that broke down. Oimaloi, the person who owns the grain, tell the grain field, tells the owner of the vineyard, gedor, you have to fix it. And then he fixed it. And the question, of course, is, why is this responsibility on the person who owns the vineyard more than the responsibility on the person who owns the grain field? And the Rishonim give many different explanations. Rashi explains, because a vineyard needs avodas hakerem. A vineyard needs place for the tractor to travel. So it's the vineyard that always has to be separated from the grain field. That's one pshat. The other pshat is because the vines and the roots of the vines spread. Whereas the roots, there are no roots. When you have a grain field, what grows is growing straight up from the ground, but it doesn't spread into the next field. And therefore, it's the grapevines that are entering into the tvua field, into the grain field, not vice versa. So he tells him, Gedor, fix this wall, it's your responsibility. And he does. And after he fixes it, it breaks down again. The chazav in the fritza, and it breaks down again. The amaloi Gedor, and he tells him, you have to fix it again. The Tosis points out, what's the point of the Mishnah telling us it fell down, and he fixes it, and he falls down, and he's told again. So Tosis says that the point of the Mishnah is to teach us that the first time and the second time, he has to be warned to fix it. After this happens two times, you don't have to be told. It's your responsibility to make sure that the wall is put up. And therefore, the halacha is that after two times, it's the responsibility of the person who owns the vineyard to keep on checking, and he doesn't have to be, and the other person doesn't have to keep on warning him. Moreover, it seems from the Rishonim, the shear of the grape that vines that go into the tefuah field has a shear that will make it a taruvus. So the question is, if every time there's a little, do they combine or not? So it seems the first two times it doesn't have to be, they won't necessarily combine. But after the first two times, even though you kept on putting up the wall and kept coming down, they will continue. The Achrayim tried to understand, and the Rishonim, why from all the places, the point of our Gemara is to teach us that the definition of a mechitza is a wall. The word mechitza being used as a wall is something that is used often throughout Shishidur Mishnah. Why is this the case that we particularly learn from? And they say that the reason is that we're learning from here that even though the damage that was done is not a direct damage, it's only because the wall between our properties fell down, and now the vines, the roots, go into your next field. But that wasn't a hezek, direct. And when we learned Masechta Bava Kama, we learned that the only time your chayiv for causing damage is if you directly caused the damage. Here, you did not directly cause the damage. It only came later. And that's why maybe it ought to be considered a situation of a grumah b'nezakin. And we learned many times when we learned Masechta, when we learned a Masechta Bava Kamma, that there is no chiv by grumah b'nezakin. So the Mishnah is trying to teach us that either this is considered, without going into great detail, a situation of garmi, or it's a situation of bari hazeka, which is certainly going to create damage. And then in those cases, yichayiv, even if it's not direct damage. And that is why the Gemara chose this from all other places in Shas to teach the halacha of mechitza. Nesiyah shemena. But let's say the person ignored the warning. For like Godra, and he didn't put up the wall. Hareza kiddush, the grapevines that go into the tefuah field will make them usher, because it's going to be considered klayim, and v'chai b'chriusoy. He's going to have to pay for that, because as we said, klayim is usher. Yeah, it's usher. And you, the Baal Kerem, created the situation. And because you, the Baal Kerem, created the situation, you're going to be held responsible. Now, what do we see from here? That the word mechitza means a wall. Tama, and now the Gemara says, and going back to understanding the Mishnah, Shutvim, the Mishnah began, Hashutvim shiratzu las mechitza, so it seems Tama deratzu. Both parties agreed to put up this wall. Hala ratzu, if they both didn't agree to put up this wall, we don't make them put up the wall. Alma, so from here we see, going back to the subject that we began the shiur with today, that hezek riyah lo shmei hezek. You can't, that hezek riyah, the fact that you're next to my property when there's nothing separating us, doesn't make it, is not considered an act of hezek, that you could force me because of that to put up a wall. Veima, but ask the Gemara, maybe the way to understand the Mishnah is very different. And the way to understand the Mishnah is mechitza means a plukta. And the Mishnah is saying that you want to divide. Where do we see that the word mechitza is used in the form of representing somebody that wants to just divide? Kriksiv. The Pasuk speaks about when they came back from Achemes Midyan, and they were dividing what they captured between the people who had actually gone out to war and the rest of the people. And the Pasuk says, the amount that everybody received was 300 heads of sheep. So the Mishnah is speaking that Kivin Derotsu, and the Mishnah says, if the two partners decided that they want to divide, the Mishnah is teaching us, they each have to build a wall. Why? Because the Mishnah is teaching us, according to this interpretation, that if we are dividing our chatzar into two, then the way to divide the chatzar is by building a wall. Because why must a wall be built? Because if we won't have a wall, we're going to have a problem of hezek riyah. So clearly, our Mishnah is teaching us, Alma hezek riyah, shmei hezek. Says the Gemara, hi, MK Ihachi, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, so then the wording is incorrect. It shouldn't have said Shiratzu Lasas Mechitza. Our agreement was not about the wall. Our agreement was about the division. Shiratzu Lasas Mechitza. That if the two of us, the two partners, agreed to divide, now we have to build a wall. Elamai, so you're going to say that the definition of Mechitza is that we agreed to make a wall. So then why that the definition of the mechitza's wall. So if that, the definition of mechitza is guda, wall. So why, when the Mishnah says, the Mishnah begins with saying, Hashutvim shiratzu las mechitza. And now we're defining that the word mechitza means a wall. So then the Mishnah says, boinin es hakaisel. We just spoke about the wall. The word mechitza was saying now means a wall. So the way the Mishnah should have expressed itself is Hashutvim shiratzu las mechitza. What does it say? Bainan Sakaisal. Bain Isami Bailai. Answers the Gemara. No, that we could understand. Because if the Mishnah would said Oisai, have a mina, we would maybe think, the mesipis ba'alma, anything that could serve as a division could be adequate to separate the two. Kamash malan, that's why the Mishnah used the word kaisel, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if we agree to build a wall, the only thing that's satisfactory is going to be a wall. And anything other than a wall will not be satisfactory because we agree to a wall. But that means we have to agree to a wall. If we don't agree to a wall, we're not forced to make a wall because has agreed, says the Gemara. The Mishnah said, according to the explanation, the mechitza is a wall. And it's only because both of us agree to make a wall must we make a wall because we really hold hezekriya ain't a hezek. So ask the Gemara, that if both of us agree to make the wall, we have to make the wall. Pshita, if both of us agree to it, so we have to do what we agree to. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah speaking about a case, the kadam chad v'ratzi l'chaveri. One partner went to the other partner and said, matatei mamatz amalei. One could say to the other that, yes, I agreed. But what I agreed to was, what did I agree to? Bavira, that I agreed to separate the two areas of the chatzar. I did not agree to put up a big wall which will take away room from the chatzar. Kamash Malan, that once we agreed to wall, the wall takes up space, and we both have to participate in building the wall. Ask the Gemara, the Hezek Re'eloish Me'Hezek, can anybody hold that Hezek Re'eloish Me'Hezek? Simon, Gina, Kaisel, Kaifin, Chalkin, Chachalonis, Rav Nachman. And these are all different brises and mishnayis that prove that Hezek Re'eloish Me'Hezek. Tashma, the Mishnah says, V'chein Begina, where it comes to a garden, we could force to put up a wall. And our Mishnah is saying that even in a place where there's not normally a minhag to put up a wall, one partner in a garden could force the other partner to put up a wall. Why? Because it has a kriya. But if you hold has a kriya, lo shmei hezek, why could he force him? Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from there. Gino shani. A garden is very different. Could Rabbi Abba Damer, Rabbi Amar Rav Huna Marav, Asal Adam, Lam Nebestei Chaveroi, somebody can't stand next to somebody else's property. Bishashi Amedet B'Kemesah, as all of the grain is standing nice and tall, because of it's an Ayin Hara. So we see that by a Gina that has beautiful grain or flowers or whatever growing, there is a new concern of Ayin Hara. What is the definition of Ayin Hara? So I saw three different pshatim in the definition of an Ayin Hara. One pshat of an Ayin Hara is that when you have somebody else's property, something beautiful that belongs to somebody else, exposed, it could cause jealousy that other people see that this person has such a nice thing. And once we have a situation of jealousy, it could lead to many other negative repercussions. That's one pshat that I saw. The second pshat that I saw is that if somebody looks at somebody successful, as the example that the Gemara just gave, where somebody has a beautiful garden and he's Baruch Shem successful, and people look at it and people say, wow, this person was so successful, it causes that in Shemayim they should start to reconsider, is this person really deserving of this success? So the best thing is that if you are Baruch Hashem successful, keep it very low-key. The third pshat that the Chazon Ish seems to suggest is that we don't understand exactly how an Ayin Hara necessarily works. But what an Ayin Hara represents is that there's certain people who could be wonderful people and certainly are not aware that they possess an Ayin Hara, but their eyes could create an Ayin Hara. And therefore, that's something min hashamayim that's not controllable. And therefore, you need to avoid being in the place where chas v'shalom somebody could look at you or look at something you own and cause an ayin hara. The the Svarim HaKadoshim say that one of the ways to prevent an Ayin Hara is that they say a tefillah that are 11 psukim that begin with the letter Nun, that begin with Neged Tzaras Kaseya Ba'odom, that printed in many Svarim. Some people say that tefillah every Matzah Shabbos. There's some people that say that tefillah every day. And there's some people at times where they're in the public eye, somebody's making a wedding, and everybody is Baruch Hashem looking at the family and at the Chasan and Kala, that's the time to say Neged Tzaras. Just like says the Chazan Ish, that there's a concept of Ayin Hara, there's also a concept of Ayin Toiva, that people that have this power in their eye, that whatever they see is affected positively. And I saw that the Svarim Kedoshim, not that I understand these things, but that the Svarim Kedoshim suggest by saying the word Uriel 7 times, you could help that you should become the subject of a Ayin Toiva. Ramosh and the Shas Chuvas Evan Ezer Chel Gimel Semen Chavov, and I saw that so too was the opinion of Ryavka Kamenetsky Zatzal. Both were of the opinion when we speak about an Ayin Hara, the way to look at this is Man the Kopi Kabdinale or Man the Loi Kopi Loi Kabdinale. The way an Ayin Hara operates is as much as you are concerned about an Ayin Hara, that is how much the Ayin Hara can have a effect on you. And the less you're concerned about an Ayin Hara, so the less you will need to be worried about the Ayin Hara. So the Mishnah, the Gemara is saying now that even if in a regular chotzer we're learning that there is no issue of Hezek Riyah, by a Gina there is. Ask the Gemara, but let's learn the words of the Mishnah. V'hav v'chei b'gedina k'tani. The Mishnah says that the Gina and the chotzer are treated the same way. So how can we say that only a Gina is subject to Ayin Hara and not anywhere else? Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, but the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says the Chei Megina is referring to Gvilu Gazas, it was referring to the materials that were used to build the wall. Tashma, the Mishnah teaches us in Daf Hei Yom Aleph, Kaisel Chatzer, if the wall of a Chatzer, Nofel, fell down, Mechaimenei say Livnois Ad Arba Amos. The Halacha says that you have to build it up to 4 Amos. And as the Rishonim explain, if it's going to be 4 Amos high, we need not be concerned that somebody will be any more concerned that somebody is going to see what's doing in the next property. So we see that we're concerned about people looking into the other property. And says the Gemara, there it's differently. Nafal Shani. If there was a wall, certainly people agreed to build a wall. You could demand that they keep that wall, that they put up the wall if it falls down. And ask the Gemara, the Karle Makarle, that's so obvious. Answers Gemara, that is true. The need for the point that our Mishnah is to teach us another halacha. Seifet Tzuchalei. That Arba Amos Lamala Ein B'chayim Nesoy. That we're going to rebuild the wall. It doesn't have to be more than 4 Amos tall. Toshma. The Mishnah teaches us on Dav Zayin and Mabez. Kaif Nesoy. The people who live in one chatzor can force one of the other. Live in a space. Shar. A place. A gatehouse. And as I saw, Rashi points out, well, maybe the gatehouse is built for a shomer, for a god. So the answer is, if it was built for a god, you wouldn't have to have a whole house. Or delf l'chotzer, you have to have a door. So why is that needed? Shemami no hezek riyah, shmei hezek, then nobody should be able to enter and see what's doing here. Answers the Gemara, there it's different because it's a place that's public. And by public area, certainly hezek, the Rabbim Shani, there is a concept of hezek riyah. Ask the Gemara, and are you saying with the yachad loy, that there is no Hezek Riyah by private property? Toshma. We're going to learn a Mishnah later on Daf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph. Ein Chayk Kines HaChatzer. One partner cannot demand that the other partner agree to divide the Chatzer. Ad Shehei Ba'abas Lezeh Ba'abas Lezeh. Unless each partner will be left with 4 Amos. Each partner will have 4 Amos. Hayesh Be'kedei Lezeh U'kedei Lezeh. If each one of us is going to be left with an area of Dalet Amos, Cholkim, we could divide, one could force the other one to divide. My laugh, ask the Gemara, what, when we force, one forces the other to divide, how must they divide Bekaisel? With a wall. Why must they use a wall? Presumably because of Hezek Riyah. Says the Gemara, Loi, the Mishnah is teaching us that one partner could force the other partner to divide, but he doesn't have to use a wall. A Mesippus Balma, any division would be satisfied. satisfactory. Toshma, Mishnah teaches us on Daf Chabez Amin Aleph, Hachaloinus, a person has windows in his wall, and the neighbor is going to put up windows. If the windows are above, my windows that I'm building are higher than your windows, lower or exactly, Arba Amis. The Tanya law, and the Bryce explaining that Allah explains, Milmala, Kadei Shaloi Yotzitzvira. I have to make my windows higher than your windows, so I should not be able to look right into your house. Mamata, Kadei Shaloi Yamidvira. I should not be able to stand up and see through my window what's going on in your house. Mekonegdon, Kadei Shaloi Yapel. I should make your house dirty, dark. But you see that there's a concept of Hezek that I shouldn't be able to see what's doing in your home. Answers the Gemara, we've been learning in our shir about what's in a chotzer. A chotzer is not really a private space. So therefore, we can have a discussion, is there hezekriya, isn't there hezekriya? Hezekah, the bias, but when we're speaking about a house, shani, there's certainly a concept of hezekriya. Toshma, domer avnachra mishmul, gag asomel chatzer chaveroi. My roof is on the same level as your chotzer. So I have to make a fence around my roof, Arba Amos. And as the Rishonim point out, I have to make a fence around the roof. But a fence around the roof doesn't have to be Arba Amos tall. I'm only doing it because of Hezekriya, says the Gemara. One can't bring a raya from there. Because Shani, the chotzer was much more of a used area than the roof. And the person who owns the chatzah says to the person who owns the roof, L'didik fili tishmishi. The chatzah is a place that I'm in all the time. L'didach loik vilach tishmishta. Your roof is not a place that's always used. V'loyedana. And therefore, I have no way of knowing by idnas salkas visis when you're going to be on your roof that I should know to stay away from my chatzah. That's the minach. And therefore, in that case, there's a concern, according to everybody, for Hezekriya. But that is not a proof that normally we're concerned about Hezekriya. So even though the Gemara attempted to bring many rayas that Hezekriya is Shmei Hezek, the Gemara successfully refuted that none of them are a compelling raya.